Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Welcome back. If you can believe it, rivalry week is upon us. We've seen pretenders and contenders, and what is up with the AP poll not making any adjustments? Because there is a stark change, stark difference, particularly out of the top 12 between the AP and the college football playoff bracket. Not so sure about what's going on with that. We've seen pretenders and contenders all season long, but hey, guess what? We can now throw the records out of the window because it's time for us to have our annual close contest in rivalries as we are overcoming our annual drugging of tryptophan. What's up, trash talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable. If you would like to call us, it's Ring Knock Radio. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We've got Trigger Joe calling from the home of the Big House, and Omar, the Burger Popper, is joining us today. Dano is out of hide, if you can believe it. Like our stalwart editor actually had to work on a Tuesday, which is odd for him, but hey, we are here. We're going to break down some college football highlights. And we're just going to talk about going into the rivalry weekend. Hey, look, check it out. Dan is on, as long as his connection lasts while he's
Dano.
And awesome. Welcome, Dano. Glad to see you here. All right, guys. What do we watch this weekend? We'll start with Omar, over to Joe, and then we'll get into the rest of the show.
Okay, so for this weekend, of course, I watched Army-Tulsa in the noon slot. And then I was actually out and about in the town. My wife and I decided we needed to needed an outing after having the baby and stuff. So I kind of had my finger on the pulse of bowl eligibility situations. Like mid-afternoon, I was watching a little bit of FIU Jacksonville State, which congrats to FIU. I mean, making their first bowl game since 2019. Willie Simmons is one of the best coaches in the country, period. So good to see that. And then like after, you know, things kind of wound down late at night, I watched Utah State, Fresno State. The Mountain West is just one of the more just engaging conferences. So it's really great. But yeah, I mean, got to see a little bit. I guess if there's a day to go out in the town, Army Tulsa was a good day after what happened. But hey, we're back. College football's great.
Yeah, sounds good. Joe, how about you?
Well, you know, the UFC decided to hold an event in Qatar. So I actually woke up on Saturday at 10 o'clock Eastern with UFC fights and almost got the whole card in before the football games kicked off, or the 4 o'clock games or 3 o'clock games. I know I mentioned before, but we also do the podcast on with the UFC and the NFL, and we called a perfect UFC card on Saturday, going 6-for-6 and cashed a big parlay. So that was nice. Then I watched a bit of Michigan versus Maryland game and I was pleased with the way Michigan looks going into the Ohio State game. Also Pittsburgh versus Georgia Tech. And what a war that turned out to be. Pittsburgh ends up pulling it out, but Haynes King almost pulled off another miracle comeback, getting them within striking distance, and then Pittsburgh hit the home run to end it. Then I think we need to start talking about Notre Dame and Jeremiah Love, because they looked a little pissed off on Saturday. 70-0, dear God. Jeremiah Love had better be invited to New York at the end of the year. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I think it's funny because I know like a lot of sports commentators all this week have been talking about like, hey, who's going to win the Heisman? I mean, after a performance like that, you kind of have to think about Jeremiah Love, just because like that's a Heisman level performance, right? I mean, straight up, it's one of those good ones. We've got a question in the chat. We'll talk about that as we get into some of the other stuff today as well. Yeah, so I was able to watch most of the highlights this weekend. I was out and about with the fam. Did watch the Army game on my phone. Won a 5-game parlay on FanDuel. Wasn't much. I basically the money I put in, I got back. So all good with that one. Then I watched the late game with watched Georgia Tech totally boot their freaking ACC championship opportunity. I think it's gone now. You know, we said 8-10 wins, no conference championship, and I think that's probably where they're going to end up, unfortunately, because they've got the Bulldogs this weekend in Atlanta. You know, and I will tell you, Pitt's got a good defense, man. Like, if you force Haynes King into throwing interceptions, the way that he's played the last few years, him throwing picks in that game is probably the difference in the ball game, to be honest. But speaking of making a difference in the ball game, we have somebody that will make a difference as you are searching for your new home. So if you've listened to this show at all, or you're PCSing to Fort Bragg, you know that we have a realtor. Her name is Jocelyn Bradley. Jocelyn is a member of the Long Gray Line in a class of 2010. She served as an Army logistic officer where she honed her passion for impacting people's lives. And now as a dedicated realtor, she brings that same commitment to you when you're trying to find your dream home. Jocelyn provides exceptional personalized service, and she tries to provide a seamless home buying experience that's tailored to your needs. Beyond Fort Bragg, Jocelyn has an extended network of trusted veteran realtors that spans the country, ready to support you no matter where your PCS takes you, whether you're relocating locally or across the country. Jocelyn's recommendations come at no cost. She will connect you with professionals of integrity in any market. And as a proud supporter of As for Football, this season, Jocelyn is the realtor that you can trust to guide you into your new home. I'm going to cover down on Dan since he is out and about. Hey, so if you didn't check out the As for Football Army football show yesterday, please do that. Dano and James from Brigade Review broke down the Army-Tulsa game. What a heartbreaker. That's all I'm going to say. Army travels to UTSA to play their informal conference rival in the Alamo Dome. The Black Knights are 6.5-point dogs going into that game. Like, talking about bowl eligibility, this is Army's last chance, really, to get bowl eligibility. I don't think that they're going to give them the opportunity after the Navy game, because it's usually they lock the bowls in for the conference champions. And the other part of it is like right now, I believe the tie-in is with the Military Bowl in Annapolis, which is basically 2 weeks after the Army-Navy game. So if they aren't bowl eligible by the Army-Navy game, they're probably not going to get the opportunity to go, which is unfortunate. Again, it's just seeing a lot of inconsistency with the Army team, and, you know, we'd like to see them do better. I think they have the talent. I think it's just not meshed. And, you know, unlike Power Five schools or group of or Power Four schools, those Army teams tend to gel year over year rather than like halfway through the season, as if like some of the bigger schools do, with a little bit more facilities and a lot less academic and strenuous military stuff. Navy's 8-2 coming off of bye. They play Memphis on Thanksgiving Day. With the win, the Mids put themselves in the conversation for the American Conference title, but I don't think that it's going to pan out that way. Right now, you've got Memphis and Tulane are in the driver's seat for North Texas and Tulane are in the driver's seat for the American Conference Championship. And again, CFP rankings matter, and so that's probably it. The Mids are currently 4.5-point dogs against the Tigers. Air Force is 3-8 after dropping another one to New Mexico, which is not good. And they're going to continue to struggle. Zarco was a great quarterback. He's a good QB1. And now that he's out of the net, their offense just isn't as explosive. And so they have the Ram Falcon trophy game. The Zoomies are a 1.5 favorite going into the game, believe it or not. But, you know, I don't know if that speaks to what people are watching.
Colorado State.
Yeah, I think it really is a reflection on how not so great Colorado State is. But speaking of things that are not so great, we've got to move on to the Blue Falcon of the week.
Look, it's the Blue Falcon.
Love that Blue Falcon. You know, I was scanning across the stat sheet on Sunday morning looking for nominees for this week's awards, and I had to make sure I didn't accidentally switch over to basketball on the ESPN app when I saw the Notre Dame-Syracuse score. This wasn't Prairie View A&M against Southeast Louisiana State. This was Notre Dame and another pretty good program, Syracuse. But something has to be out of focus because the score said, nope, that's right, it was 77. Well, we can stop the Blue Falcon search when we found that one. Look no further, fella, you found him, in the words of Dave Chappelle. When you give up 70 points on defense as a defensive unit in the game of football, you can go ahead and call yourself the Blue Falcon for the day, because you're definitely the reason nothing the offense does means anything if you're giving up that many points. Jeremiah Love is still running, and you guys haven't caught him once. I'll tell you one thing that you will catch is this week's Blue Falcon Award, because Syracuse defense did everything they could to make sure they lost that game.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of that,
I drank the beer.
Yeah, I mean, now in related stories, Jeremiah Love went absolutely insane on Saturday. He has a pregame ritual with his father where he says a prayer into his ear hole. And it's actually a pretty wholesome, pretty cool thing. I wonder if he said, hey, bet you can't hang Madden numbers today in his ear or something like that, you know, just to poke him. The dude had 8 carries for 171 yards and touchdowns of 68, 45, and 14, averaging 21.4 yards every time he touched the ball. Jeremiah Love, we will all hold your beer while hopefully you go to New York. And look at what I'm wearing and look who he plays for. If that tells you how talented this kid is, I don't hate on talent.
Yeah, I think it's hard. I think it's hard to do. Like that kid's pretty undeniable with the way that he played. I mean, it was like, I mean, every time you looked away from the screen and looked back, there was a Jeremiah Love in the picture in picture on ESPN. I mean, like the guy was destroying people. And I think the other part of it is we always talk about it, and you hear it, and you hear the sports writer say that, you know, oh, he's got to have a Heisman moment, right? He has to have a Heisman moment. Hey, folks, I'm 21.4 yards a carry. That's probably a Heisman moment. I'm just saying, I think the only thing that would have made that performance better is if he would have broke like a single game rushing record for Notre Dame, you know, it was outstanding performance. And I think he's in the driver's seat. And oh, by the way, folks, the year ends in 5. So like, if you are going to put money down on the Heisman, you should put it down on a running back, because again, in years that end in 5, typically a non-quarterback,
1965,
a non-quarterback wins. So with that performance, unless, you know, Jeremiah Love like lays an egg in the next couple weeks, I think he's probably going to be our Heisman Trophy winner. Let's move on to the top 10. I know we made some changes to the top 10 this week. We're actually breaking it down from CFP rankings. We're still going to keep track of the AP top 25 losses, but like this is the time in the year where we transition over to the CFP rankings. And even still, those are kind of odd, but we'll pass it over to you, Joe, to break these things down.
Yeah, it's pretty similar too. So number one, no shock here, as the Buckeyes have lived in the number one spot all season. They, again, were not tested by Rutgers. Winning 42-9. The Buckeyes know what awaits them, and they know where they have to go to get it. That's right. It's time. Saturday, noon, Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's the Buckeyes versus the Wolverines for everything. The Buckeyes are a 10-point favorite. Number two, we got Indiana. The Hoosiers cruise past Wisconsin 31-7. Indiana travels to Purdue on Saturday, where they are a 28.5-point favorite. Looks like they're going to finish out just fine. At number three, we got Texas A&M. The Aggies did one of the things that I hate, which is play a tiny school in November, as they picked Lucky Samford to smash 48-0. I hope they were able to iron out the kinks, because they travel to play the Texas Longhorns on Saturday, where they are a 2.5-point favorite. At number four, we got Georgia. Georgia also beat up on a little guy Saturday, winning 35-3 over Charlotte. The Bulldogs travel to play Tech on Saturday, where they're 12.5-point favorites. Didn't like that spread when it came out, and it's starting to move in the right direction. But at number five, we got Ole Miss. Ole Miss won a tough one on Saturday against Florida, 34-24. The Rebels travel to Mississippi State for the Egg Bowl, right? Yeah. They're 7.5-point favorites. At number six, we got Texas Tech. The Red Raiders were off on Saturday, and I don't think they're going to be tested this week, because they travel to West Virginia, where they're 23.5-point favorites. Texas Tech has all cylinders firing and a great defense. Look out for them in the playoffs. Number six, we got the Oregon Ducks, who had a great quality win in convincing fashion over USC, 42-7 on Saturday. Oregon travels to Washington on Saturday, where they are a 6.5-point favorite. And then number eight, we got the Oklahoma Sooners. They just keep on winning, as they got it done on Saturday against number 22 Mizzou, 17-6. They are another team that has a stellar defense. Oklahoma plays LSU on Saturday and are 10.5-point favorites. At number nine, we got Notre Dame. And as Harry Carey would say, holy cow, look at that score, 70-7. Notre Dame absolutely murks Syracuse. The Irish will travel to Stanford on Saturday to see if they can win by 80. The spread is 32.5. At number 10, we got tied Alabama, and clearly the highest quality win of top 10, as Alabama somehow pulls off a victory over the vaunted East Illinois squad, 56-0. Come on, you guys kidding? All right. Next week is the Iron Bowl, for crying out loud. Get serious. That's right. Alabama travels to Auburn, and they're 6.5-point favorites currently.
Yeah. So I do have a question. Omar, you're one of our highly touted sports beat reporters. Lane Kiffin, where does he go?
Oh man, I'm highly tied except on coach rumors, to be honest with you.
Nice.
But I guess if I had a man, I really, so honestly, I'm very anti-SEC, almost to the point where it's like, if, like, how people cover the group of five is how I look at the SEC. It is kind of, yeah, it's over there. But I would have to say, I would have to say Florida. I want to say it just depends. I need to have the buyout statistics in front of me as to whose buyout was cheaper. I assume that LSU is a pricey buyout because I think that it took a lot of money to get Brian Kelly from Notre Dame.
And they're still in court. So who knows what that price tag looks like.
So I say Florida maybe, but I really don't have a crystal ball on that one. Or maybe he stays, honestly. I kind of got a funny feeling he stays, to be honest with you. I don't know if that's just me.
Moves it. Almost everything he does in college is going to be considered lateral at best.
Unless he goes to LSU. And I say that because LSU is sitting on a pile of NIL cash. You know, they're one of the top NIL schools in the country. Wow. And with the graduates that they have, he has the potential to, you know, scoop up some other stuff. And like, Michael Speck just dropped that in the chat too. Like LSU, he's not staying. And I would be surprised because, again, we've seen Lane Kiffin play gun for hire too, right? So he has gun will travel if the check is right. So unfortunately, I think he may pop smoke and go somewhere else. Top 25 losses, we're at 69 so far for the season. We've only got 2 weeks left, so we're easily going to be over 75. Oregon beat USC, as Joe mentioned earlier, in the battle of coaches with the most punchable faces in D1. Oklahoma took out Mizzou, Georgia Tech and Pitt, and then TCU actually clipped Houston 17-14, which is bonkers. But again, I think we're moving into rivalry territory. It's rivalry week. You know, Mike Davis kind of threw some shade at you, Joe, because he's like, you can't talk about Ohio State, Michigan, but I think you can't not talk about rivalries and not talk about Ohio State, Michigan. But for some lesser known rivalries from a guy that does a lot of research, again, we'll pass it over to Omar and let him give his thoughts on what is the best rivalry game to watch this weekend.
Oh man. Okay. So we're going for this weekend. So I guess I'll just put a showcase on rivalries that already happened. Cause that's what I put in the notes.
Yeah, that's fair.
Harvard, Yale and Amherst Williams, both in New England, both where the roots of the game are. Honestly, if you want history, I think the best thing in rivalry is history and proximity. Those two have it. Some of the first All-Americans were in those four schools. And if you want a nickname, you know, can't beat the game and the biggest little game in America, Amherst Williams out there in Massachusetts. That's a bucket list game. Shout out to my cousin Crystal, who's a Williams grad. I guess now moving on to this weekend, I would have to say if I had a favorite rivalry of this weekend, I would say Michigan, Ohio State, but it's kind of lost its luster, the fact that it's not for the Rose Bowl anymore. And no offense, Joe, it's just the fact like you won't get the iconic images of Charles Woodson with a rose in his mouth anymore because it's for a trip to Indianapolis. You're going to get him maybe with a tire around his neck now.
He's an old school at heart, man. It sounds like my dad and all the guys we tailgate with, but I hear what you're saying, brother. We had to cross that bridge a long time ago when we lost the Rose Bowl. So, I was there for Woodson's every one of his games.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wouldn't say that one. I'd have to say that if I had to pick a rivalry game, it's kind of hard. I'm going to go with, because they're all regional in nature, I'm going to go with Notre Dame USC / Notre Dame Stanford, honestly, for a game that transcends regions because those are national rivalries, honestly. And we know the drama that's happening with Notre Dame and USC now. But Notre Dame Stanford has a chance to step up and be, honestly, a really transcendent rivalry between two institutions that are just, you know, just great academically, more so on Notre Dame USC, just two institutions that are just star-studded, just a history of just two of the most important programs in college football, I guess, if I had to pick on rivalry weekend. But you kind of got me, Rob, with the stipulation that it had to be this weekend. Because
it doesn't technically have to be this weekend. We're just trying to open it up and have like legit conversation about rivalries. And one of the things that we're talking about is looking at, you know, looking at things. And again, Mike mentioned again, the Iron Bowl, right? And I can tell you, and that's one of the ones that I was going to talk about. And the only reason why I would talk about it is because I actually went to Air CGSC in Maxwell Air Force Base. And so as you're driving from Columbus, Georgia to Maxwell, you stop at the gas station and you get the question, who you for? And you get that question every time. And they're saying, who you for? Either Auburn or Alabama, right? And if you haven't seen like the celebration of Toomer's Corner after a Bama win, like it, or after an Auburn win, is insane. Like they roll the tree. There's all kinds of crazy stuff that happens. And like the construct of this game this week, I don't think it's going to end up with an Auburn win. But in situations like that, like with the kick six and some of the other things that have happened, like crazy upsets at Auburn, like they literally try and burn the town down, you know, after that. Oh,
you could poke your head in a bar on Auburn campus this week and go, there goes Davis. And the whole place will go crazy. I mean, yeah. You can that. I know the whole call in a couple languages, by the way, and I'm not even a fan. Like that was one of the most legendary calls of all time. That is a great rivalry, and I don't take any of the shine off of it, because when I was in basic training, we had a drill sergeant that was a diehard Bama Auburn fan. He used to always tell me that rivalry up north ain't shit.
Yeah, which is true. But you know, moving on to it's a kind of like a lesser known rivalry. I think Army and UTSA is starting to become one. You know, before like when Army and UTSA have played, like Army has had the edge on them for a while. They've played five times. And, you know, in those five times, it's started in the early 2020s and moved on now. And now that Army is in the American Conference, we're going to see that game probably every other year or every third year, more than likely. So I think that's going to start becoming a more consistent thing. But, like, we really need to figure out what that trophy looks like. You know what I mean? Like, like is a Black Knight with a Roadrunner smashed underneath it? Or is it the Road Knight Road Knight freaking trophy or whatever? We need to come up with something, because they're going to play that game more than once. Like, Army's in the driver's seat right now. And then if you look at the overall, you know, winning at home, Army has the ability to go to UTSA and win in the Alamo Dome. And so I think that, you know, history being itself, I'm surprised the line isn't a lot closer than it is, you know, because Army tends to have UTSA's number when they play them at home. However, when you look at the way that UTSA has played at home, like they haven't lost an American Conference game in a while in the Alamo Dome. So that kind of changes the calculus of the handicapping or the bookies looking at the overall score and everything else. But clearly, looking at Joe's attire, we know which rivalry he's going to talk about. So we'll pass it over to him to give us some insights. And you're going to be at the game this weekend, correct?
That is correct. And I wore this shirt just because you're never going to see it again. It literally says, what's your excuse? 21, 22, 23, and 24. What's your excuse this year? You can thank El Presidente Dave Portnoy because it's a Barstool hoodie. But yeah, man, I was raised on it. You know, I was raised on it. And if my mom got her paychecks from Ohio State, I'd probably be wearing scarlet and gray right now. But she got them from Michigan. So, but just, and you know what's crazy about it? I really didn't get into Michigan sports initially for the football. When I went and saw the Fab Five play, dude, I thought I was seeing superheroes. Like that to me was when I got lost in the Michigan, the Big Ten, like the every aspect. I wanted to know everything about every rivalry. And because it was the first time I'd seen that, you know, no one had ever seen five freshmen. No one had saw the baggy shorts or the black socks. I mean, here I am, 14-year-old white kid, and I'm putting on black Fila's with black socks, like trying to be a foot shorter version of Chris Webber. Like, dude, I wasn't a little kid. I was 14. So I got in big time in the rivalry. And that's when I started going to all the football games with my dad and the 97 game with Ohio State. I mean, there's so many games where that was for it. That was for the conference. That was for the Rose Bowl trip, like Omar said. Or now it's, you know, a possible Big Ten championship, appearance. So it's got to be, it's got to be Ohio State, Michigan, because I'm in it. I'm 20 minutes down on the street from the stadium, and the good thing about that rivalry is you'll hear so much trash talk, you'll hear all this nonsense, but nobody's leaving with their nose bleeding. No one's leaving getting roughed up. Like, that doesn't happen here. It's all about the game and the rivalry, and everybody kind of keeps it civil, even though the hate for fan bases because it's two different states is very real.
100%. Yeah, and I think that's
it's very respectful important. Hate though. Like it's not like a you know it's just but yeah, man, I'm not walking over to any pregame tailgate circles that are scarlet and gray just to introduce myself. That's not happening.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. And hopefully, Joe, like you'll get an opportunity. Like Joe's going to be at the game. He's going to tailgate. Hopefully he'll send us some clips so we can post them on the socials of the game as long as he remains vertical. And speaking
of I'm usually the most sober one there. Sober is the word.
Which is a good note to have. But
infantrymen don't drink.
True. Fair point. So, if you listen to this show before, you know we have a sponsor here. It's Craig Oxane. Craig Oxane is the area sales rep for the Money Store. He's a class of 1994, can lend in all 50 states. He's based out of Chicago and is one of the most significant VA lenders in the country. He'll give you super competitive rates. Craig is going to give you the best deal as you possibly can. Hey, we all know that the mortgage rates are confusing. They're talking about replacing the Fed chair. There's all kinds of craziness going on with interest rates. You need to talk to somebody that is willing to work with you and willing to talk to you on the phone, right? There's a lot of people that will do it online and give you a result. It may not be the best result. And this is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we're introducing you to the man that you need to meet to get you a better mortgage. Plus, Craig doesn't charge lenders fees for veterans. That's a huge savings of $1,300. Get that money. Craig Oxane, area sales rep for the Money Store. Check him out. The link's on our website, or you can just Google it. Hard to spell his name, so just go to the Ask for Football website. There's a business card for Jocelyn and a business card for Craig. You can find your house and get it financed all in the same place. And that's what we are here to do as the Ask for Football team. And check out our sponsors. Let them know that we sent you. Thanks. So we're going to break down the American Conference games this week. And Omar, you're in the hot seat to tell us which game that we should really watch and which one is most important. So we've got Navy at Memphis. They're kicking off on Thursday night. You've got Temple at North Texas, ECU at FAU, UAB at Tulsa, Army at UTSA, and Rice at USF. Which one is the most important game that we should be watching? And it's going to be the stage setter for the conference champion.
Yeah. So first, before I start, I didn't see Michael Spex's comment about the Manon Bell for rivalry. That was on the tip of my tongue, actually, because that's another Division III rivalry that I think from the 1880s. So I wanted to address that Manon Bowl reference. But I have to say, this isn't the most attractive final week slate. And you also forgot, too, I guess it's symbolic of everything happening at Charlotte. Tulane Charlotte's not on our notes this week. Poor Charlotte, honestly. I mean, Tulane got the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory golden ticket. I know they're looking at their schedule right now with that look of joy. Like, you mean we just have to beat Charlotte to go to the title game? But I have to say Navy-Memphis, that's really the biggest option, with a close runner-up being Temple, North Texas. And there's an added spice to Temple, North Texas now with Eric Morris going to Oklahoma State. But I don't think that's enough. But Navy-Memphis, honestly, like with everything that Navy has to play for, with it being on Thanksgiving too, even if this one isn't the most impactful one for the conference race, this is a highly visible game for the American itself. And it looks like the American's settling in to that Thanksgiving Day time slot, because last year they had Tulane-Memphis. This year we have Navy-Memphis. And even if it's like not directly for the conference title, these are two of the best teams in the league, two of the most well-known teams. It's just a great game for the American Conference in general to begin to kind of distance themselves from the rest of the group of six now with the Pac-12. I mean, games like this are what make people – I think perception is everything in the college football playoff, because people, even if it's not true, even if the S&P Plus or whatever the rankings say that James Madison's better, there's that perception that the American is every bit ahead of the Sun Belt. And believe it or not, until we have a – subjectives, or I guess until we have an objective system based on rankings and equations and whatever to settle the playoff, perception is going to get teams from the American in. So this is a huge game for the country to continue to, you know, perceive the American as the best of the rest in terms of group of five. So I'm going with Navy Memphis on Thanksgiving night.
Navy Memphis on Thanksgiving. Make sure you got lots of coffee for that one, because that tryptophan is going to put a hurting on you. So we'll move on to the rest of the games of the week. Hey, we got games like kicking off like crap. Bowling Green and UMass are playing as we speak, and that's one of my picks. So, unfortunately, if you didn't get in early, you're pretty much screwed. You got Western Michigan at Eastern Michigan. That's a, you know, in-state rivalry as well. Kicking at 7:30 tonight on ESPN2. as Omar mentioned, you got Navy and Memphis tomorrow night on ESPN. It's on ESPN and not CBS Sports, because typically CBS Sports carries the Service Academy games, but it's going to be on ESPN. You got the Egg Bowl kicking off at noon on Saturday. These are the Saturday slate of games. Iowa and Nebraska, believe it or not, that one's going to be on CBS. That might actually turn out to be a much better game. Iowa's a solid squad. Discount Mahomes needs to get another black eye before the end of the season. I don't know. Like I think there was a lot of promise when Matt Rhule came to Nebraska, and they paid him a whole bunch of money, and he's still not getting the job done. How much longer? You know, I want to see how much longer they're willing to invest in that buyout, because he's just not the same coach as he was when he was at Temple a few years back. The Egg Bowl kicks at noon. Ole Miss and Mississippi State, we may be seeing Lane Kiffin swang song. I think the administrative office told him he has to make a decision after that game. Maybe we can hope for the return of Coach Orgeron. Like, I would love to see Coach O back in the SEC. Like, all, you know, moral failings notwithstanding, I would like to see him, because he is a good coach, right? Like, he's a good coach in that respect. His on-the-field persona, much, much better than his off-the-field persona. Ram Falcon Trophy, 3 o'clock on Saturday. You've got Georgia Tech and Georgia playing at 3:30. That one's going to be in Atlanta. Temple at North Texas, that's going to be an interesting game, just for the simple fact that, you know, Eric Morris is moving on, and, you know, they could potentially be a playoff team. Does he stay? You know, do you coach through the rest of the season, or do you, you know, start working on recruiting for your next thing? Cause that's a tough position to be in. Yeah. Indiana at Purdue. Like, hey folks, like, as much as we'd like to see the Spoilermakers put on that cape and rough up Indiana, I seriously doubt that that's going to happen. I think Indiana is pretty much a shoe-in for that. Texas A&M at Texas. Like, A&M's good, man. Texas has been inconsistent at best. And, you know, at first, I think if there wouldn't have been so much preseason hype on Arch Manning, I think people would be paying more attention to Texas rather than less. But you got a point, Joe. You're muted.
I will say this. If A&M wins out, I think Marcel Reed deserves to get invited. And that's another thing. If you put the hype on Arch Manning before the season that they put on Marcel Reed, maybe Arch Manning would be a surprising up-and-comer for next year rather than this disappointment, you know, because look at Marcel Reed. They didn't put any hype on him. Kid has a great year. And, yeah. I mean, it's all about what the media does before the, you know, like everyone's saying, well, was Bryce Underwood that good? Yeah, man, he is that good. Wait till you see him next year.
Well,
he just threw for 285 against Maryland. I mean, he's making the throws that they're giving him. Michigan's a running team this year.
Yeah, well, the other part of it is it goes to player development, right? When you have a young quarterback, you run the ball more. Ohio State's doing it. Michigan's doing it. Why does it surprise you? You know,
I don't want to lean completely on the shoulders of an 18-year-old.
The other part of it is, and I think that was the fatal mistake at Texas, right? Like, hey, sure, rather than beefing up your running game and helping your young QB out,
what human wouldn't be overwhelmed by that pressure?
Yeah,
and that money.
And I think that's really what kind of shot them in the foot. So you've got Arizona at Arizona State. They're creeping back into the top 25. You know, again, that was an interesting contest a few years ago. I don't think anybody cares now on a Friday night at 9 o'clock. Moving on to Saturday at noon, you have extended coverage from Big Noon Kickoff. I don't know. I'm sure Dave Portnoy is not banned at Michigan to come to the Michigan games. I know that they kept him out of Ohio, out of the horseshoe earlier this season. I think that'll be a good game. Toledo at Central Michigan. Hey, quick hat tip to Coach Drinkle. They're bowl eligible. Here's another chance to get a win before the end of the year. Texas Tech at West Virginia. Anybody want to see a dead body? I mean, West Virginia is not good. Rich Rod is not like anywhere close to his previous luster as he had at other coaching assignments. Tricky one on your calendar at noon, man. Like, if you have a multi-viewer or have the opportunity to have a second TV up, watch Miami and Pitt, because Pitt is a much better team than people were giving them credit for. Nobody's talking about them. They just had a great defensive play at home or away at Georgia Tech. And I think they're
– Where's that game at?
It's at Pitt.
Yeah, so I like Pittsburgh to cover that.
You know, defense travels, but hey, if you're beating people on the road with the way that they're playing defense, I think it's going to be a much better game. Houston at Baylor. I think Houston's going to try and get some respect back based off of that loss that they took this week. East Carolina and Florida Atlantic. Like, East Carolina is, again, like, they are their own worst enemy. They are a solid squad that just is not producing. Colorado at Kansas State. hey, that's going to be like the battle of the transfer quarterbacks, because I legitimately think that Avery Johnson's going to leave at the end of the season. You know, if they didn't fire coach, I think Avery's going to leave, just because he's got a better opportunity to move to another school and actually win a championship. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. You've got Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Kentucky at Louisville. These guys are all – they all hate each other. They're all in the same freaking ballpark. Georgia State at Old Dominion. These are afternoon kicks. And Boston College at Syracuse. Can Syracuse lick their wounds and come back and play a good contest? Boston College is actually – they're not terrible, but they also are not great. They've been playing decent football. You know, at first, you thought when Thomas Castellanos, you know, left – they weren't going to be able to put anything together. They've been playing okay. Missouri at Arkansas. Hey, Missouri is playing for respect right now. They're middle of the pack in the SEC, but Arkansas is usually an easy target to beat. Vandy at Tennessee. That should be a good game. I know Daniel is going to be tuning in on that one. That should be a good game. Diego Pavia, that's another guy that's just quietly playing good games, you know?
Yep.
Nice. That's a great comment from Brian Brennan. That makes me laugh. That's unfortunate. Does North Texas start adding an Oklahoma State jersey instead of championship t-shirts? Oof. Yeah, because that portal will hit you right between the eyes. Wake Forest at Duke. That should be an interesting game, more interesting in basketball. LSU at Oklahoma, that's tuning up to be a nice game. Army plays at 3:30 this week, which is nice. They're offsetting them from the game, but it's going to be on ESPN+. Oregon at Washington. And then rounding out the slate, you got Maryland at Michigan State in Detroit. That should be interesting. UCLA at USC. Hey, man, again, like, I don't like coaches with punchable faces. I'm pulling for UCLA on that one. I saw a graphic this week that somebody said the only coach that should go to Cal should be Marshawn Lynch. So get Marshawn Lynch to come to Cal. Like, that would be a game changer for the state of California. Iron Bowl, of course, at 7:30. You've got North Carolina at NC State. Hey, North Carolina is going to take another L, man. Carter-Finley Stadium is a dangerous place to play, and C.J. Bailey is a good quarterback.
They won't catch any breaks from NC State.
No, for sure. They will not. You got Charlotte at Tulane. I mean, again, this is just resume building for Tulane. And they have to score points, right? At some point, some of these teams have to put up high scores. And then Notre Dame at Stanford. Here's going to be another freaking – 50 burger on someone, because they have to, right? In order to keep themselves in the conversation, they got to put up the points. You got Fresno taking on San Jose State, and the nightcap is Wyoming at Hawaii. And again, I'm not mad at, you know, the Pac-12 after dark kicking before midnight. Like, that does my heart good, because we have had some serious late night games as they start adjusting the slate. But all that being said, it's time to move on to our
weekly locks.
All right, we got weekly locks. But before we get started, we have a special message. Dano actually cut this together earlier today, so you get to hear his picks.
Oh, he did he?
Yes, he did.
Living from the greatest city in the world. Got to be honest, finding a quiet place to record in New York City is not one of the easier parts of being the editor of Astro Football. But I just want to say thanks and also give you my picks this week. Went 1-2 this past week, so not sure why you need my picks. I am like 8 games under 500. But what can you do? UNLV covered against Hawaii. That's great. UConn beat FAU. That's also good. But the Owls kept it close, so that means that the Huskies didn't cover. And ECU at UTSA went way over. I thought maybe the Pirates defense would show up. They absolutely did not. What can you do? But on to next week, right? So this week, I'm taking Navy plus 5.5 at Memphis. This is me actively trying to put the monkeys on the mitts. You know, the way this season's going, they're probably going to beat Memphis by 2 touchdowns and head into the Army-Navy game on fire. What can you do? I'll also take Air Force minus 1.5 at Colorado State. Zoomies always seem to find a way to win that game. I think they're going to find a way to win it again this year. I guess we'll see. Both teams look pretty even with all of Air Force's recent injuries. And finally, give me Texas A&M minus 2.5 at Texas. Man, I just think A&M is the better team. I don't think they're going to screw that up in a game that both teams need a lot. That's it. Thanks. See you guys next week.
Yeah, so Dano even contributed, so that's pretty cool. And he's on a train right now, so he's probably going to log in like 5 minutes after we end the show. All right, so Joe, what do you got this week?
Yeah, I went 2-1 last week. UNLV covered, as Dano said, and Wake Forest on Delaware. I can't believe nobody hit that one up. That was a Wake Forest minus 17.5 with Clay Barnett running back, and that defense. Yeah, that game was over before it started. Speaking of over before it started, it's 28-0 Bowling Green right now. I still haven't got my radar locked on those Mountain West teams, as Utah did not cover. So that was my loss. Even though Dano isn't here, he gave the staff strict instructions to hold me to 3 picks. So I'm sorry, but even on rivalry week, I must maintain the standard. So here we go. BYU minus 17.5 versus UCF. Look, the last time UCF took the field against a top 10 team, they lost by 40 to Texas Tech. Now they have BYU, who is looking to finish strong after that loss to the same Texas Tech Red Raiders. So give me the Cougars in an absolute blowout here. I'll take BYU 47-23. And then Oregon minus 6.5 at Washington. After what they did to USC, I just think this team is too good and playing for too much to leave any doubt here. I think they finished strong. Give me the Oregon Ducks 34-21. Then Michigan plus 10.5 versus you know who. That's right. I did it. You can say this is the homer pick, but when you have 4 years of research to go on and not a single player in scarlet and gray that has ever beat Michigan taking the field Saturday, and not a single player wearing maize and blue that has ever lost to Ohio State taking the field Saturday, I just don't think the Buckeyes are going to come into the big house and blow Michigan out. Sorry. They have a freshman quarterback as well, and they haven't faced a defense like they're going to face in the big house. I think Michigan keeps this game close and puts the world on notice for what they can expect next year. Having said that, in the end, this Buckeye squad is going to be too strong, and Michigan will cover, although come up short in a phenomenal war, Ohio State 31-24. But give me Michigan plus 10. And hopefully I did the same thing to Ohio State that Dano was trying to do to the Zoomies there. It made me want to vomit saying Ohio State 31-24. But you can't deny there's a lot of first-round picks on this team. So I think Ohio State is like a rabid dog. They want this win so bad they can taste it. It's been 365 days times 4 for them of thinking about Michigan wins. And I think this team is good enough to get the job done. And the only difference here is Michigan doesn't have a senior quarterback to lead them through the rough times. So I think Michigan's offense being a touch vanilla in the first year of Bryce Underwood is going to get them behind in a little bit of a track meet that happens maybe second, third quarter where there's a couple, big bundle of points. And I think Ohio State just holds them off at the end.
Yeah. You know, in typical fashion, Ryan Day has probably one of the best resumes of a young coach in college football, with the exception of his rivalry game.
He's got the best record of any coach that's ever been threatened to be fired. I know that.
Yeah, that is 100% true. But I think, like Joe said, I think that the outcome is going to be a little bit wonky. Like I said, I think Ohio State specifically focuses in on the middle eight, which is the last four of the second quarter and the first four of the third quarter. I think that's going to be the difference in the game. They're going to win that middle eight, and that may be the difference. I don't know. Stranger things have happened. Way to continue Michigan to feed them.
Michigan was 20-point dogs last year.
Yeah, continue to feed them that rat poison. All right, Omar, what you got?
Yeah, so for my picks, I'm going to start off with Iowa minus 6.5 on Nebraska. And that's not anything about Nebraska being a poor team. I just think right now the offense is a bit more one-dimensional with freshman TJ Lateef in and not Patrick Mahomes, a.k.a. Dylan Raiola. I just think anytime you walk in to play Iowa with a backup quarterback, it's going to be a struggle to score any points. I mean, no matter how bad Iowa's offense is this year. So I expect Iowa, even if it's 10-3, that's a cover for that game. 10-3 Hawkeyes. So
that would not surprise me at all.
It wouldn't surprise me either. And also, like Ohio State, Nebraska has a bit of a drought in that rivalry. I think it's like even longer. I want to say it's been since like 2014 or something that they've beaten Iowa. So it's a long time coming for the Cornhuskers. Staying in the Big Ten, I got Indiana negative 28.5, Purdue. It's a rivalry game, and I think Kurt Cignetti last year, after what he did to Purdue like last year, I think it's like 66-0, I think what the game was. I don't see him taking the foot off the gas in a rivalry game. Yeah. Purdue's improved from last year, but It's just dark times out there in West Lafayette. And then going to the group of five, I got New Mexico State minus 4.5 on Middle Tennessee. Middle Tennessee just hasn't been, you know, very hot this year. They're going to the altitude in late November out there in Las Cruces, New Mexico. New Mexico State has struggled running the ball, but Middle Tennessee is allowing opponents to rush for almost 150 per game. So we'll have a more balanced New Mexico State attack in that one. And I think that one's at least a touchdown or more, you know, just with all that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Sounds interesting. And so for me, hey, I already have a game ongoing, so that doesn't really count, but I'm going to chalk that up as a win unless there's a major catastrophe in Bowling Green. I took Bowling Green to cover 11.5 against UMass. The only thing that would make this season worse for UMass is if they had a 13th game to play, because they would probably go 0-13 this season. So I took Bowling Green to cover 11.5 against UMass. Hey, I've got UGA covering minus 12.5 against Georgia Tech. Like, as much as I've been in on the tank for the Fighting Haynes Kings this season,
they don't play defense.
I don't think Georgia Tech is up for the task. And the running game, it's going to be, you know, the stable of running backs at Georgia versus Haynes King and who can put up more rushing yards. So we'll see what happens. But I think Georgia covers that one easily. Go ahead, Joe.
Having said that, Haynes King has outpassed Gunnar Stockton on the year and outrushed Georgia's leading rusher. So he is pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that Haynes King can, like, pull his cape out.
He's been up for a while.
Yeah. And you know, if Georgia Tech is wanting to be serious about postseason play, this is the game to do it, right? They got to send a message. I don't know if they got it in them anymore. Then I have, sticking with the MAC, I said take NIU to cover 5.5 against Kent State. Both of these teams have had pretty rough seasons, but NIU has had Kent State's number for the last couple of years. And again, I think that's a pretty reasonable score. Try to pick around the league, but I've been sticking with the MAC. It's been good to me so far this season. Got me out of the hole that I was in. So I dug my way out, and I think I'm in the number three spot, maybe number two, and I'm coming.
Who's in one?
Right now, it's John Griffiths. He's still number one, and it's the three of us on the screen right now that are in, like, the 2 through 4 position. So,
okay. Where am I at?
Last time I checked, you were at number. Let's see. I'm in the wrong. I'm looking at the wrong sheet.
I asked that question. Right.
Yeah, you asked me at the exact wrong time. I just literally looked at it. So right now, it's John Griffiths is number one. Omar and Joe are tied for number two, and I am in fourth place because of the tie between you two fine gentlemen. So if
it's my two, if you're looking, 3 weeks back to back, that killed me.
Yeah, but like right now, like it's a tight race for the Ask for Football Picks League. I think we're going to end up going down to the wire. We may have to throw in a tiebreaker for the national championship game because I think we're doing that well. At least we are. Dano is playing for pride at this point. But we're at the end of the show. And speaking of being at the end of the show, hey, we want to say happy Thanksgiving to you guys. And you know, heartfelt thank you from the Ask for Football team here. We appreciate all your support throughout the year. Those of you guys that are in the Firsty Club and the Patreon, like, you guys are a great group of college football sickos, good group of folks to bounce ideas off and thoughts. And when you have to vent, particularly when there is a tough Army loss, it's the place to be because, like, Firsty Club tends not to get emotional about things. We just kind of make observations, and what happens in the Firsty Club stays in the Firsty Club. So the only thing that I will say is, like, we have conversations about college and Army football, and they stay there, and you're not going to get trolled in social media. There's a meme or two every now and then, but the reality of it is the Firsty Club is a safe place to be as far as talking about college football, and we thank you guys for being there. Also, Black Friday coming up, so there's a promo code that's scrolling across the bottom that says Beat Navy. The Ask for Football store is open. Go to the Ask for Football website, click on shop, and there's all kinds of gear that you can grab before the college football season's over. And if you don't want to splurge and buy the Army jersey because you're a little bit concerned about the Army-Navy game, spend a little bit less and get an Ask for Football shirt. Support us. Support the Army team. And, it's Thanksgiving. Thanks again for everybody joining us and for the crew here at the As for Football College Football Roundtable. You've got Omar, the Burger Pauper, calling to you out of the home of Woody Guthrie in Oklahoma. We got Trigger Joe calling to you from the home of the Big House. And I am Rob, the Angry Colonel, calling to you out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. Hey, we thank you guys for checking us out, and we'll see you next week. And as always, beat UTSA.
I'll say it for Dan. I'll beat him.
Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extras. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.